A couple of weeks ago, on our Tuesday phone-in, Call You and Yours, we talked about language teaching. We were talking about it because the GCSE results had just come out and French had dropped out of the top 10 subjects taken. As the programme went out, language teachers were tweeting as they listened, and the next day a group got together online for a webcam discussion. Here's a taste of their conversation.
Welcome to the Flash Meeting special on yesterday's very interesting programme called... I can't remember what it's called. The Importance of Language Learning on Radio 4, You and Yours. And the idea of today's flash meeting is for a group of language professionals to discuss what we thought about the programme and to also mention things if they weren't mentioned. So who'd like to start? First of all, who actually listened to the programme yesterday?
Yeah, I did, Joe.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I listened to it too.
I didn't watch it, but I followed all the tweets.
Hi, yeah, I heard it yesterday on the iPlayer.
I watched it as it was happening, listened to it as it was happening, and it made me think very hard.
I think one of the things that was said was that something about exam boards needing to look at the exams and rethink what they were asking pupils to do.
I tend to feel that as MFL teachers now, we probably have never been better. We try hard, we're highly motivated, we're incredibly concerned.
I just refuse entirely to accept the argument that teaching and learning in languages is the problem. I don't think it is. And I think also it's more a systemic root and branch reform that needs to be done.
Hello everybody, I'm sorry that I was late and I'm sorry if this is going to repeat what people have said, but what I've heard so far just encourages me so much that we've got here teachers who are defending teachers. And you've heard me all say this before, but for the record for the meeting, I feel that there are lots and lots of factors which affect performance in languages, motivation, that sort of thing. But the one factor that nobody has addressed, which was brought up in the Lord Deering's report, and it's the one thing that they haven't done, all of the other recommendations have been followed, but not this one, is to do with severe grading.
Well, that last voice you heard was Helen Myers. She's a French teacher at a secondary school that specialises in languages. It's in Dorking in Surrey. And she joins us now. Helen, you mentioned the Deering report, and that was the late Lord Deering's Languages Review. And it was a look at our relatively poor performance in languages and what might be done to improve things, published in 2007. Now, you lobbied Lord Deering on this point about the severe grading of languages papers, the idea that language exams are graded more harshly than other subjects, and that that's put students off. Tell me, what's the evidence for that claim?
Well, we had put together statistics which now, of course, are available. Many years ago, we didn't have these statistics, but now we do have statistics which tell us what grades pupils get in relation to other grades which they receive. So we had very, very clear evidence to be able to show him that severe grading did exist. And yes, I lobbied for this, along with the Association for Language Learning, the Head Teachers Union, ASCL, and also the Independent Schools Modern Language Association.
Well, Lord Deering's report said it was a widely held view, and that it agreed with you that it was this view was putting students off taking languages. So he asked the Qualifications and Curriculum Development Agency to take a look at it. Samia Earle is the National Specialism Coordinator for Languages in England, and it's her job to work with the 389 specialist languages schools and colleges in England. That look, Samir, at whether these language exams are more severely graded than other exams, what did it conclude?
Well, I think the report that was published then in 2008 are basing the study on two factors. The present examination system is based on, it is based on attainment-based comparability, so that it is forming the basis that studies which are a standard of performance of a particular award lies in its intellectual demand, the level of knowledge, skill and understanding, and the quality of candidate attainment at such key grade boundary. And it is based on this comparability is based on obviously a professional judgment. So it is a criteria developed at the time by the QCEA, as it was called, and obviously that the awarding bodies then will have to develop a reasonable sort of marking boundaries around that. Your report, Helen, was basically making the case for aptitude-based comparability, which would obviously benefit languages if it was applied, but the report concluded that it would affect other subjects. In languages, it would affect something like Urdu, and if you compare with math, then art will come out far worse. So the percentage of grades A and A star will be increasing, and the percentage of C lowering. So the report didn't come down one way or another. So we are in a situation exactly like we were in 2007. So we know that there is an issue, that the issue is quite complex, that languages are like no other subject. It does involve a high level of skill, problem solving, conceptualization, and that you are really are testing the performance of the candidate in a very, very short time sort of space. And it is based, again, on professional judgments for teachers and also the moderators and markers. Because of the complexity and the range of factors involved here, it has been difficult for the QCA to recommend that there is uphold the whole system and move it to sort of an aptitude-based type of comparability.
Helen Myers, obviously this is a complicated debate, and I had difficulty following it, but you want the examiners to look at the aptitude of children in, for example, mathematics at a certain age, and then what they go on to score in their GCSE. Is that right?
Well,
and then look at and then apply that kind of aptitude type grading to other subjects, including foreign languages.
I suppose what we're saying is that there is a statistical way in which languages could be brought in line with other traditional academic subjects, because at the moment that's not the case. Can I say right from the outset, we're very, very aware that it's a very, very highly sensitive issue, this, because people are very concerned about standards, about the problem of dumbing down. But when I was at the meeting with Lord Deering, he actually said, that he saw that actually requesting that we should be in line with math seemed to be reasonable, and he didn't think that a newspaper could scream a headline saying, shock, horror, languages is to be made as easy as maths. And that's really what we're asking for. We're just seeking a level playing field. There's this historical anomaly, and we just need a minute one-step adjustment in order to bring us in line with other subjects such as maths, history, and so on. So really, the idea about looking at maths, that's just a way in which that one-step change could be made.
Samira, looking at what the report said, I had a look at its conclusions this morning. It's quite a big report, but it says, as you said, the present system isn't based on aptitude-based concepts of comparability. Its adoption will create a major threat to public confidence in students' results. And we have similar concerns about applying a new performance standard to languages, but not to other subjects, some of which might also want to claim special status. Don't universities and the general public understand that modern languages are harder? Don't you get more respect for, say, a B in French than you would get for a B in some other subjects?
Absolutely. Also, let me put this in context. This report, obviously, was the Deering Review was published in 2007. This report was published in 2008. We are in 2010. The present results have shown an increase in the percentage of A star to C in French, right up, although the entries have dropped, that encouragingly, in French, it's up to 71.9% A star to C, in German, 74%, and also in Spanish, 75.2%. So what I'm saying is that the situation has shifted slightly, because we have a new type of GCSE being introduced this year, the present year 10, and going through the system. And we have teachers that are more experienced, possibly, in actually preparing for the particular exam test. The old GCSE puts a huge amount of pressure on individual candidates because of the oral performance. And in 15 minutes, you had to demonstrate what you knew over 5 years. And I think the stress that the candidates were put under, and the teachers as well, really did affect the performance. The new GCSE now is about controlled assessment. 60% of that is about controlled assessment and is in the hand of teachers. So we are waiting to see whether that would make a significant change. But I agree absolutely that languages, particularly when you get to A level, really does involve a huge amount of personal research and study and a higher level order of intellectual capacity. So, yes, languages are as hard as math, but it's also the way that we approach it and promote it and teach it. But there is an issue there. However, in language colleges, we have seen the performance of languages and the way they were taught really raising achievement right across the board.
Helen,
so it's possible to do that.
Helen Myers, last word to you.
Well, coming back to your original question about the fact that people see, you know, are aware of the fact that it's more difficult than others to get a B, that the grade boundaries are different. And I suppose in some ways you might say that's encouraging, that people know that. But I don't think that's a reason to keep with the status quo. My main message is that I think the government and Ofqual must make a small adjustment to grade boundaries in GCSE modern languages so that there is a level playing field between modern languages and other traditional academic subjects such as maths.
Well, we have a statement from Ofqual since you mentioned them. They said Ofqual monitors the work of awarding organisations. There's no evidence to support allegations of severe marking in modern foreign language subjects.
Well, and that does surprise me. I've been at a meeting where that was not what was expressed to me, and I know that they have actually planned another meeting coming up in November to look into things, so that really surprises me.
Perhaps we'll come back to you again then.
Yes, certainly. Please do.
Helen Myers, Samir Earle, England's National Specialism Coordinator for Languages. Thanks both.